So glad you guys are able to join us together this morning. If you have not had an opportunity, go grab your Bible, or maybe you have your phone there. Open up your Bible app. We're going to be diving into a couple pretty big chunks of scripture this morning that I want us to read together. And so be sure to get your Bible ready or your device in maybe whatever Bible app that you have. So we are in the middle of our series called Mixtape, a study through the book of Psalm. And so this is kind of God's story, this God's song, God's mixtape to us. And when Dave started the series, he started talking about putting together this mixtape. And he talked about when he was dating and made Bonnie this mixtape. And so I remember sitting in service and talking with Katie. I said, "Hey, did I ever make you a mixtape? Because I don't remember." And she said, "Yeah." And I was like, "I have no idea what I put on it." I assume there is at least one Dave Matthews song on that mixtape because the day that I met Katie, I was wearing a Dave Matthews shirt, and she said that's why she wanted to meet me. So I guarantee you that there is a Dave Matthews song. Now, as a kid, the way that we put together mixtapes was sometimes you had to turn on the radio, wait for that song to come on, and then you would press record and you would be able to get that song off of the radio. And I remember very distinctly, there was a year where the Chicago Bears made it to the Super Bowl. And to celebrate this, they made a rap, a Super Bowl rap. They called it the Super Bowl Shuffle, and it was huge. And listening to it now, it's awful. It's not super great. But I distinctly remember sitting over at my friend's house with our boombox, and we had a tape in there, and we were just waiting for the Super Bowl Shuffle to come on. And sure enough, it did. You press play and record, and we got the song. And we were so excited that we got to play that song over and over again that night that we had a sleepover at his house. I'm sure his parents went absolutely crazy. But that is the very first time that I remember like making a mixtape or having to be able to get those songs off the radio. And so this was a time when I was in elementary school. Now, there's a lot of things in elementary school that were really important to kids. And one of those things that were really important to kids was the day that you got to be line leader. Line leader was a big deal, right? Now, there were other special events. There was other special days, such as all the holidays. Halloween, you got to dress up and bring candy. Thanksgiving, you got to make your pilgrim vest out of a brown paper bag. I don't know what they do nowadays. You got to exchange Christmas cards and all this stuff and have all of these wonderful celebrations. But one of the most important days was being line leader. We were excited about having that opportunity to be the head of your class, right? It meant that you got to go to recess first, right? It meant that you got to go and be lunch and get your lunch first as well. It meant that you got to be king or queen of the day. You were it. You were the line leader for your class. Now, as I have grown and matured, I have learned that being a leader is more than just what I can get out of being a leader. Being a leader comes with things like compassion and caring. Sometimes being a leader means that there's friction and there's hurt. Being a leader also means that you get to celebrate victories and growth. But it also means that sometimes there's defeats and there's heartaches. So being a leader is not always easy. It's not always fun, because when you are a leader, now you have what we call responsibility. You have responsibility to people. Maybe you have responsibility to your job and to production and to get things done. You have responsibility for security, to taking care of people or taking care of whatever it is that you are in charge of. You have this responsibility of setting an example. You are a leader. And this morning, as we continue in our series of mixtape, we are going to be studying through a pretty familiar psalm this morning. And I think it would be fair to say that is probably one of the most well-known psalms. Many times as we when we hear this psalm, it is at a funeral. Because here's the reason. It is a reassuring psalm, and it reminds us of who God is and how he interacts with his creation, and it reminds us of how he loves us and how he cares for us. And so this morning, together, I want us to read through the 23rd Psalm. So I hope that you have your Bible or your Bible app open to the 23rd Psalm, all right? And we're going to read through the whole thing. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley," sometimes it says through the valley of the shadow and death, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So David writes this beautiful song, this beautiful poem of comfort. And he starts off by saying that God is a shepherd. Now, it seems for us today that that makes sense. But to an Israelite at that time, it could have maybe seemed a little bit odd, because shepherds at that time were really not looked at with as much regard. Sometimes they were even looked down upon. See, by nature, their job meant that they were always out in the fields. They were always around. They were always traveling. They were always out protecting their sheep. They didn't get to come in very much, so they were dirty. They were accused of being thieves and accused of being in places where they should not have been, because they were taking care of their sheep and making sure that they had plenty of good things to eat. In Jewish tradition and customs, it meant that they were ceremonially unclean, which meant that they were not able to go into the temple and to worship. Because of the things that they had to do, they had to slaughter sheep to take care of themselves. They had to help give birth to other sheep, and that all of those things made them ceremonially unclean. So they weren't able to just be that regular good Jewish worship person. But shepherds had a great responsibility, and they had to watch out for, and they had to care for, and they had to provide for, and protect and maintain their flock. So this morning, let's break out Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. Let's read those together again. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, and he guides me along the paths for his name's sake." So here David reminds us that God provides all of our needs, right? It's a great reminder even during this time. God is the God who provides for all of our needs. He makes sure that we are moved to healthy pastures and that he provides clean waters, right? Basically this, that God is the God of provision and gives us everything that we need in life. He takes care of us, right? There has been times in our lives and in our marriage when our month was going to be longer than our money. And we get into those times, has anybody else ever been there, right, where your money just doesn't seem like it's going to make it to the end of the month? And at that time, we prayed and we tightened up and we made sure that we were able to make it through that. So maybe you've been in that position before. And it always seems that God is faithful and he sees us through. Maybe it's through an unknown financial gift that you didn't know what you were going to get. Or maybe just something was able to work out and you were able to have all of those things that we need. I really believe that is just God working in our life and being that God that he promises that he is. He is the God of provision and he takes care of us. Now, this doesn't always mean that God is going to give you every wish of your heart or every desire that you have, right? It doesn't mean that because God is the God of provision that you're going to have the biggest house or you're going to have the nicest cars or whatever worldly thing that we sort of put in that category. Instead, it means that God is going to be faithful and he's going to see us through and provide for our needs. When we follow him, I love this part, when the sheep follow the shepherd, We stay on safe paths. When we sort of leave God, when we sort of leave what he has planned for us, and we get off on other paths that we're not supposed to be on, that's when we sort of get into trouble. And it's the same thing with sheep. When they don't follow the shepherd, they get in trouble and they stray. Verses 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Even in our darkest hours, even when we feel attacked on all sides, when we don't know what's going to happen next, we are reminded that he is our protection. And there in verse 4, we get this picture of David saying, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, this was not lost on an Israelite. This was not lost on a Hebrew, okay? This is a pretty significant thing. When they were in captivity, when they were in bondage in Egypt, the staff was a ever-present symbol of power. Have you ever noticed in Egyptian hieroglyphs or in Egyptian carvings or maybe in the sarcophaguses of the pharaohs, you could always see that Pharaoh had a staff in his hand and a rod in his hand. And this rod, this staff, showed people that Pharaoh had power. It was a sign of power and leadership. I'm going to go off here on just a little side note. Do you remember back when God had sent Moses and Aaron to plead with Pharaoh to release the Israelites out of captivity? In one of those interactions, God sends them and they have their staffs, right? And God tells Moses and Aaron, when you go in there, throw your staffs on the ground. And when they do that, what happens? Well, their staffs turn into snakes. And now, for some of us, they're like, wow, that's a pretty powerful thing that God is doing here. What does that mean? Well, for Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they were like, that's not a really big deal. Because at that point, Pharaoh calls in his magicians. And they bring in their staffs, and they throw it on the ground. And what happens? They turn into serpents. And a lot of times, we know what happens next. If you've studied this and you've read this passage, you know what happens next. And when I read it initially, and when I studied a long time ago, I thought it said something different than what it really says. Exodus chapter 7, verse 12. It says, each one threw down their staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Now, has anyone ever thought that when you were reading this, what your initial thought was, well, it must have been Aaron's snake that swallowed the magician's snake. But what Scripture says is that the staff swallowed the other staff. Now, I'm not entirely sure what that means, but maybe it can mean this. If the staff is a symbol of power for Pharaoh, maybe this is showing Pharaoh that God is even more powerful than Pharaoh. God is more powerful than what you think you can do or how you can lead. I am God is even greater than Pharaoh himself. You see, God is the all-powerful and all-good shepherd. Verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The writer closes with this assurance that when we continue to follow the shepherd, that we will be in his love and his protection, and we look forward to the promise of life with him. See, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life when I follow the shepherd. Now, we know this. Leaders and leadership styles come in all different forms. But God has given us this example, this type of leader that we are supposed to be, not just leaders within the church, not just preachers and associate staff and stuff like that, not just elders, but everybody is supposed to have this sort of example as a leader. We are to lead people like a shepherd would lead a flock. So today, this message is not just for those church staff or those people that lead the church. This is for everybody in the church. And the reason why I say this is because everybody gets an opportunity to lead someone. Maybe you get an opportunity to lead a friend or a family member. Fathers and mothers, you get to lead your children. And this is this beautiful example of being what we call a shepherd leader. As Christians and followers of Jesus, we are called to be shepherd leaders. And so today, we're going to jump over to the New Testament. In John chapter 10, Jesus has this interaction with the Pharisees and his disciples, and he takes this opportunity to explain to them and to show them what it means to be a shepherd leader. So John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and we're going to study through this whole passage right here together about what it means to be a shepherd leader. Good shepherd. All right? We are called to be a good shepherd and a shepherd leader. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to break this out together this morning. For somebody to be a good shepherd, for somebody to be a shepherd leader, number one, they need to be honest with their sheep. They need to be honest with their sheep. He says this, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. And the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." You see, we have got to be honest and not deceiving and not trying to get things out of people. Leading is about being an example and being honest. I learned a long time ago that it's very important to be who God created you to be. When you try to be something that you're not, you can only pull it off for a short amount of time because eventually people will see it. When I did youth ministry, one of the very first lessons that I ever learned about being a youth minister and leading teens is that you have got to be who you are, because here it is, teens are very perceptive. If you try to be something that you're not, teens see it and immediately you lose all credibility and all opportunity to lead them. You've got to be who you are and who God created you to be. The passage here says that the one that climbs in is a thief and a robber, but the one that enters into the gate is the one who is the shepherd. See, when you try to be something that you're not, it affects your character. It affects how you can interact with people and how you can lead people, right? See, people won't follow when you're not honest. A good shepherd is honest with their sheep. Secondly, a good shepherd knows their sheep. Verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." So you get this picture where this shepherd or leader knows his flock, knows his people. And to know somebody and to know the sheep, it means what? You have got to spend time with them. You've got to be with people. A shepherd is committed to his sheep. A leader is committed to his people. And for those people who are following him, a leader is invested relationally. And sometimes that is not always easy to lead people. Sometimes it's not always easy to be a shepherd leading sheep. Sometimes sheep go astray and do things that they're not supposed to do. In the same way, a leader needs to be sure to be with their people, to know their people, and for their people to know them. It's important to be that leader. Three, a good shepherd has a relationship with their sheep. Verse 4, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." So here you are. If you are leading somebody right now, right, and you are discipling somebody, or maybe you have this opportunity just to get together with your small group or with a group of men or a group of women, and you're studying the Bible together, and you're excited about maybe somebody new who has come in, and you're excited about seeing them grow, right? That's what we want to have happen. We want to teach people God's word. We want to help them grow in their understanding and love of who God is. So if you're leading someone and you're excited to see them grow, yet you don't see them ever maybe getting to that next step, maybe it's time for you to start looking inward. See, some sheep will never venture further than where their shepherd has gone themselves, nor are willing to go themselves. See, up in verse 4 and 5, it says this. It says that he brought them all out on his own, and he goes ahead of them. Right? He goes ahead of them, so he knows what's coming up, and he prepares a good place for them, and they know his voice, right? But if you are leading somebody, and you recognize that they're not growing, it's because maybe you need to grow now. Maybe you need to take more time into God's word, and studying God's word, and in more time in prayer, because people will not go further than where their shepherd or their leader is willing to go or has gone themselves. You need to be sure that you are always growing and that you are always learning and that you are always studying and that you are always venturing out as well. I'm kind of a personable person. I enjoy being with people, and I enjoy when families come to church, and I try to meet the parents, and if they have teenagers and kids. I find that when I can sometimes be a little bit big sometimes, and it can be frightening to kids. And when I try to meet a kid, I usually get the same look from their face, which is, who is this guy and why is he talking to me, right? But I've noticed this, and this is something that I learned when I started having children. But have you ever noticed that sometimes how a child will turn and look to the parent if a stranger tries to talk to them? That's intentional. That child is looking back to somebody that they know, somebody that they trust, somebody that takes care of them to be sure and saying, hey, is this guy okay? And they can sort of read the look on the parent's face. And if it's a worried look, it can worry the child as well. But I mean, I'm used to that. That's the normal look that I get from kids. And time again, they're like, should I talk to this guy? And he keeps talking to me. Should I talk to this? Should I, you know? But it's a natural instinct to be sure that the person, the parent, or the leader is providing and taking care of and making sure that they are okay. So they have a relationship, and that relationship means something. It's important to have. Number 4, a good shepherd leads their sheep to life. Verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Jesus is speaking this right now, and he says, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, a good leader wants to lead people to life and to good things. Jesus says, I am the gate through which the sheep enter. They will come out and they will go. They will come and go and they will find pasture. Pasture means that they are going to a place where there is sustenance, there is food, there is water, there is safety in those places. Things to help them grow. Things to help them to be healthy and to sustain life. Jesus said himself, I am the way, that I am the truth, and I am the life. See, the leader will bring people along. A good leader, is supposed to bring people along and bring them to life. As Christians, our hope is in Jesus, in this promise, that there is life beyond this. Our hope is in God's word, where we have this promise where we will be with God for all eternity. I don't know what that looks like, but it's exciting. And I want it to be real. And I want it for me and for my family and for others, as many as I can bring along as well. I want to be that shepherd that brings people along. So the shepherd, a good shepherd leads their sheep to life, to good things. Number five, a good shepherd protects their sheep from harm. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not know his sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. And when the wolves attack the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Here's this beautiful picture of this relationship and how important it is when we become invested in people and people become invested in us. It is our job to watch out for and to care for and to protect people. And just as it was the job of the shepherd to protect his sheep. When you don't have that close relationship with somebody, when that isn't built, when troubled times come, when things get hard, sometimes there could be a friction in the relationship. And when that is difficult and there's not a solid foundation with that relationship can be fractured and they can split. You can see the difference between the shepherd, the one who is the leader, the one that leads the flock, and the one that is the hired hand. That person that doesn't have anything invested in this is going to look out for themselves. But the shepherd doesn't do that. The shepherd looks out for his flock. Because why? Because he has something invested. He's taken time. He has poured out his heart. He's poured out finances. He's poured out resources to take care of this. In the same way, we pour out our hearts, we pour out our investments, we pour out our resources into people to lead them and to bring them. So we need to be sure that we are able to build that relationship so that we can protect people from harm. And we do that through a close relationship of growing together and building up rapport, building up confidence, right? Building up trust, being honest. So we want to protect the sheep from harm. There are many times, even within the church, that people want to come in and do harm to the church. Whether that is because they were hurt at one time themselves, or maybe they had just have some sort of selfish agenda. And that happens. And what we want to do is we want to pray for those people. We want to pray for healing for those people. But it is also our job to protect people from harm. And to help people through those situations in their life. And so a good shepherd protects their sheep from harm. The next thing that a good shepherd does is that it seeks out other sheep. Verses 14 through 16. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. And I must bring them also. They also listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. Here is one of the most greatest things that we are entrusted to do, to be the shepherd that goes and to seeks out other sheep. We call this evangelism. That's a big church word for basically going out and telling people about Jesus. It's this beautiful picture of going out and bringing more sheep in to the flock. And this, again, is not a message or a commandment just for church leaders or for elders or pastors or church staff or whoever else. It is for all followers of Jesus. In fact, it is such an important mandate. It is such an important part of who we are as followers of Jesus. It is one of the very last things that Jesus commanded us to do before he left this earth and ascended into heaven. He said, go out and seek and save the lost. Find other followers. Go out and seek sheep that are not in this pen and bring them in and get to know them. Create a relationship. Protect them from harm. Lead them to life. These are all the things that we are commanded to do. To be a good leader, to be a shepherd leader, we have to go and seek other sheep as well. The final thing that a good shepherd does is that they serve their sheep. they serve their sheep. Verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is also one of the most important things to remember as a good leader, as a good shepherd leader, that it's not about us. Remember at the very beginning when I talked about this idea that being a leader, being a line leader in elementary school, it was all about us. It was all about what we got out of it. It was all about how we felt. But being a good shepherd leader is not about us. It's about what we can do and how we can serve other people. It's how we can lay down our life and lay down our wants and lay down our needs so that others might know this joy and this hope and this safety and all of these things that come with being a follower of Jesus. And we want to do this. Jesus says, I do this because this is what I want to do. And so as a leader, we need as a shepherd leader, we need to follow that example as well. This is something that we should want to do, that we should want to lead people, and we should want to lay down our lives, that we should want to serve other people in being a good shepherd leader. As a church, as Two Rivers Church, our main goals are this, is that first off, we want to love God. A good shepherd leader loves God, puts him first in his life, in everything that he does, and in his family. We want to love each other. A good shepherd leader loves his people, loves people around them, right? And he loves the world, which means that he goes out and finds sheep that are not in his flock, and he brings them in. So all of this even comes down to who we are as a church. A good shepherd leader is who we are as a church. So as we've been studying through Core 52, one of the last things that Mark Moore writes in this chapter about being a shepherd leader, he says this in the final paragraph of his book. He says this: just as Jesus represents God, so as we as leaders represent kings and priests of the past. Either we'll wear the title of leader well with humility and sacrifice, or we'll repeat the mistake of past kings and priests and suffer similar consequences. I love this. Shepherding is noble only when we suffer. That's difficult. This theological twist that's incomprehensible to those who don't know the good shepherd or God who suffered on our behalf. You see, being a good shepherd leader is not always easy. It comes with a lot of things. It comes with joys and victories. It comes with hurts and heartaches. It comes with lost sheep, and it comes with new sheep. It comes with lost people and new people. It comes with hurting people and happy people. For us to be good leaders, we first have to know the good shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here and to worship you today and to love you for who you are. Lord, I just pray that we be followers of you. Lord, that we learn what it means to be a shepherd leader. Lord, I thank you for your example of being a leader. Lord, and I pray that we study that and we apply that to our lives. Lord, help us to be honest, true, caring people that loves people where they are. Lord, and wants to go out and seek and save others as well. Lord, we thank you for the comforting words of David. Lord, we thank you that he reminds us that you protect us and that you guide us and you watch over us. Lord, we're thankful that he reminds us that you are the one that is the giver of all good things. Lord, we thank you for giving us the thing that we really needed, which was redemption through Jesus. a way out from under our sin and the punishment that comes along with it. Lord, again, we love you. God, I thank you for Jesus, our good shepherd. All these things we pray in his name. Amen.